Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah. Awesome. So cool seeing families pray together. I think we need to hit reset on the kiddies' capacity button quickly. So, Deirdre is close by. I think they have put there. Here she comes. So, all of the kids, all the kleinkinders, all the large school kinders, the primary school kids, if you guys could go with Tani Deirdre, she's got some fun activity for you guys or something. Organized for just a few moments outside. The kids are going to come back in about 10 minutes. So we're just going to let them quickly get rid of some of their energy, reset, refocus, and then they're going to come back for our greet group time. So today is, if you're visiting, it is a little bit more chaos than normal this morning. And that's okay with us because kids are important. And church doesn't always have to be neat and tidy and perfect. Sometimes it's just about being together as family in the presence of the Lord. These last few weeks, months, we've been sort of focusing on two main ideas, main thoughts, and I hope by now that you've memorized these little phrases. You can turn around if you're facing the back. I'm going to be about 10 minutes, and then Deirdre is going to come back, and we are going to be back in our groups. The first one is sort of a snippet from Mark chapter 1, where Peter goes looking for Jesus early in the morning, and when he finds him, Peter says to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And so we hopefully walking around our lives, our places, the places of work, the places in our communities, in our societies, wherever we go, with an understanding everyone is looking for Jesus. The second one we said was in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, where God ordered and he told the apostles, the early disciples, to preach everywhere. And so we've been saying to one another for the last 6 months or so, everyone, everywhere. We've had a number of messages sort of around that theme. It's been so cool to me to see how many of you have responded. I think Maronique baptized someone for the first time. I said, when is the last time you or I baptized someone? And so many of us stepping out, preaching, even Yurette and her family, they're not with us this morning because she shared her testimony at a birthday party a couple of weeks ago, and her sister was like, "Yes, that which you have, I want as well." And she's getting baptized today, slotted into a different church closer to where they stay. And it's just so amazing to see as we just begin to be bold and step out. And I want to encourage us. Some of us are still busy sitting back, waiting for somebody else to invite my friend or my colleague to start the conversation, to bring Jesus into that. Let's be bold and just put Jesus front and center. Felt God saying to us that revival is at the door. But will we let it in? Will we let it in to the doors of our hearts, into our church, into our community? But also, will we let it in, and for this morning, into our families? Revival is at the door of your family. Normally, when we think of revival, we think in sort of revival is when a whole bunch of people come to Christ. And that is a form of revival. But revival is every time the Holy Spirit breathes new life. That is revival. And it manifests in salvation and people coming to Christ for the first time. But revival is so much more than people just putting their faith in Jesus for salvation. Revival is the Holy Spirit breathing newness of life. And so I believe there is revival at the door of your family right now. There is revival at the door of your career. There is revival at the door of your finances. There is revival at the door of your relationships. Will we open the door and let the Holy Spirit in? And so for us this morning, we're going to take a few moments and remind ourselves that if we're talking about reaching everyone everywhere, it starts at home. It starts there where we live with our own families. That is the first place where the Holy Spirit comes knocking. In Joshua 24, many of us would know these passages. I'm going to just remind us, just encourage us through the scriptures for a few moments. And then Deirdre is going to come and just help us, just really practically around putting some of these things in place. In Joshua 24, Joshua is looking at the crowds, he's looking at the people of Israel. He says, if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you are going to serve. The rest of you, you decide what you want to do when it comes to serving God. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors or the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me, my family, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, I believe that is what's resonating in every one of our hearts as we are here this morning. As for me and my family, we are going to serve Jesus. As for me and my family, we're going to put Jesus first. As for me and my family, we're going to follow Jesus. As for me and my family, we're going to praise Him. We are going to live for Jesus. And that, I'm guessing, is why most of us would be at a church on a Sunday morning, because we have decided in our hearts to follow Jesus. For our families, we can't force anyone to follow Christ. I can't make my children follow Christ by force and say, you have to, you must. I grew up in a generation where our parents tried that. We got hidings based on what we did in church or didn't do in church. We were forced to attend on, I think I've told you guys this, the highlight for me, today's Communion Sunday. So we're going to have communion together in our families today as well. But one of the highlights for us was about this time of the year, we would get next year's church calendar. And we are, by God's grace, not too far away from giving you our church calendar for next year. And hopefully you're not going to do what I used to do when I got the church calendar. Me and my brothers, the four of us, we would take the calendar and we would page through and we would look for the communion Sundays and we would highlight the communion Sundays. And those were the best Sundays in the year. Do you know why? Because it is communion Sunday. Children are not allowed in church because they can't partake of communion. So we get to stay at home. The best Sunday in the year. We don't have to wake up early. But because we were forced, you have to. You have to, you have to. You know, most of us, when we have to, we press against. Until we see who God is and it becomes a we want to. So as parents, we can't force our families. But we can hold Christ before them in a healthy, holy way. Inspire them to follow Jesus, to teach them the truths of Scripture. Make a decision in our heart to say, God, as for me and my house, we are going to be a family that follows Jesus, not by compulsion, but because we are going to make so much of Jesus that my children don't really have another choice. They're going to grow up with an awareness that He is alive. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first bit here is a famous bit within the Hebrew culture. We still hear about it today. It's called the Shema. It says, listen, O Israel, or hear, O Israel, depending on your translation. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. And then the law goes on and says, and in typical human form, we took these laws and held on to them as not as principles to be applied, but as black and white laws that need to be upheld. And missed so much of God's purpose in it. Take these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. When I was flying to Egypt recently, I sat next to an imam, and he had a little digital counter. Apparently, you can do this digitally now. And he was sitting there reciting how great his God is up to a counter, because he has a counter and he has to fulfill a certain number of times every single day. So he's just sitting there, just saying it over and over, just clicking away at his little electronic counter. How sad is it when repeating becomes a law, a quota that we have to fulfill, rather than our heart's disposition that God is great. And I just want to say this as often as I can. But in our homes, I want to encourage us as parents, are we creating environments where we repeat God's laws again and again to our children? When we talk about them, when we are at home and when we're on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up, is He the first thing we speak about and the last thing we speak about? Is He central to the conversation in our homes? Tie them to your hands and Wear them on your forehead as reminders. And the Jews literally went and did this. They made little boxes and they took mini scrolls and wrote the word of God on these tiny little scrolls and put them on their boxes and tied them on their foreheads and hung them from their coats, missing the point that the point isn't to physically have the word of God physically on your body, but to have it in the forefront of your day-to-day life all of the time. Tie them on your hands, wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Build your house around the words, the commandment of God. And so this morning, we want to encourage us just anew. Some of us, we're in families because we have a mother and father and brothers and sisters. So we're part of a family. And obviously, we play a really important role in that family. Some of us are here and we've got the family we grew up in, but we've got our new family as well, husband and wife. Some of us, husband and wife and little one. Some of us, husband, wife, and many little ones. Some of us, like Christoph this morning, husband and many little ones. His wife needs a holiday. I think when you've got that many kids, you need a holiday from time to time. So she's run away to Italy. Apparently, she's coming back at some stage. Allegedly. As promised, she will clearly be returning. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. But we have our little families and our beautiful families that God has given us. I want to encourage us this morning. Our heart this morning is for the word, the lesson that Deirdre is going to come in just a few moments and share with us. But as well, for us to take these principles anew. For those of us who are starting on our marriage journey, for those of us who are about to be married, for those of us who are about to meet our future spouse, it's a great place for this corner over here to say amen. Hey. Come on, let me try that again. Some of us are about to meet our future spouse. We need to pray for some more faith in this corner over here. Okay. But let's live from the outset with Jesus at the center. See, faith is imparted and should be imparted from generation to generation. I love the story of Timothy. Timothy, one of the New Testament church leaders, we so often read about him as Paul's son in the faith, where Paul obviously invested so much into this young Timothy's life, write at least two letters to him. We have two of the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, encouraging him, inspiring him. But Timothy's faith journey didn't start with a father in the faith. It started with his mother at home. Watch what Paul writes to Timothy in one of these letters. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I remember your genuine faith. You share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, your mother, Eunice, and now I know that same faith continues strong in you. Timothy grew up in a house that was filled with faith. And so, fathers, we play a really, really important role in discipling and determining the direction of our children. But guess what, mothers? So do you. It's interesting for me here that Paul, we don't know much about Timothy's dad, but Timothy's dad isn't the one that's mentioned here, his mom. Your mom had faith and your grandmother had faith, which she obviously imparted to your mother, and your mother has now imparted faith to you. And so that is our heart, that we would be imparting faith to our children from a young age. They would be raised in a home, not just where mother and father knows Jesus and hears Jesus and follows Jesus, but where every one of us know Him, hear Him, and follow Him. So I'm going to ask Deirdre to come, and she's going to help us with a workshop of sorts with all in our families. So some of us, we're in our family for the day, and some of us, we're in our family for life. Whichever one you're in today, I'm stalling here to buy time. I'm not sure where Deirdre is. I'm not sure if Deirdre can hear me. Deirdre, there we go. We've got the whole team going on Deirdre hunting. Okay, so the kids are going to come back inside, and they're going to sit with us as families, and we're going to study a Bible story together as a family for just 15 or 20 minutes, and pray together and end with communion together in our families this morning. 2 minutes. Okay. She's herding the cats. I'm not sure. I hope none of my cats are there. And if you're in the parents' room still listening, you want to come and join us in the main hall, you're welcome to do that, especially if kind of the parents are split. If you are together in the parents' room, you're welcome to stay there. But if you are able to join us in here, that would be better. And if it's chaos, that's fine. We love chaos.
Hello, church family. We're just waiting for the families to join us, the last few kids and families to join us. I got a thumbs up from Maronique. Okay. All the kids with their families. I saw some kids running out. Okay. All right. I think we can start. Gaan ons begin? Are we going to start? Kinders, families, are we going to start? Is allemaal reg? Can I get a ready meter from the kids and from the adults? A ready meter. Is jylle gereed? Eet ek shops? Kryk my shops, daar is jylle ready? Alright, today we're going to... Okay, today we are going to learn about something that Jesus said, something that Jesus taught us in the Bible. And we're going to do it together as a family and as kids. So this is supposed to meet all of you, so I hope it really does. Okay, so firstly... the name of the sermon is Conqueror or Warrior. So I have just one little joke. My sister worries about everything, so that's why we call her the warrior of the family. But I'm hoping one day she'll be a conqueror as well. Okay, so, maaikies, kids, is julle opgewonde om by julle mamas te sit? Are you excited to sit with your moms and dads today? Hey, Lyndon, is it lekker? Any other kids that like sitting with your moms and dads today? April, is it good to sit with mom? Zoe thinks so too. Is it like I'm so with mama and papa to sit? Nani, do you think so? I want to tell you something. This story that we're going to read in the Bible was part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Dit was deel van Jesus' preek op 'n berg. And at that sermon, there were families. There were lots of men, there were women, and there were children. Daar was kinders. Daar was kinders wat geluister het vir Jesus. They were children that listened to Jesus as well because they were excited. They saw Jesus preaching and they were excited to hear about this. Ja. Nee, nie op daai. Ons teken op papier. Waar is die papier? Dan teken ons op die papier. Ha? Ons teken op papier. So the children were excited to hear about Jesus. And I can just imagine that. Because when I think about my kids, as ek dink aan my kinders as well, you know, you call them to come eat. Come eat, Timothy, Aria, come eat. And they don't do anything. The moment we have an important conversation in the kitchen, my husband and I, then Aria's like, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? I want to know what you are saying. So the children were like that with Jesus. When Jesus spoke, they know this. They knew this was important. And they were like, I want to go with my mom to listen to this guy. Ek wil hoor wat hierdie oom gaan sê, want hy sê, it's cool, ek is seker daarvan. So we're going to do that today. That's why I'm so excited. We are doing that today. We're listening to what Jesus said. And what Jesus said wasn't just applicable for adults. It was applicable for kids. And it was applicable for families. And that's what we are going to do today. So, kom maaikies, ons gaan allemaal. We can read in Matthew 6. It's up there, I'm hoping. There we go. All right, so we're going to read together in our Bibles. If you want to open up now, we're going to have an opportunity later where the families are turned together, where the fathers, mothers, kids, all Bibles can be opened together. So I'm just going to read for us. I hope you don't mind. I can't read there. I'm going to read there. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them, and you are much more valuable than they. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? We keep reading in verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is a long message, but it is so important and so applicable for children as well and for adults in every single day. So let's think about it. Kids, is there kinders wat luister? Are there kids listening? Are there some kids that really like to eat? Charlie, ek seker jou van eet. Hi, who likes food? Lyndon, yes, I've got one there. Christoph says his kids like to eat. Letabu, do you like clothes? Do you like wearing clothes? Yes, I do too. And you, Manoni? I see she's got a hand up. Do you like wearing clothes? Yes, and we all don't like it when our tummies are empty or when we don't have anything to wear, when we have to do washing. That is very applicable to all of us. So I found a funny little photo that I thought I'd share with you. I hope you find it funny, otherwise, sorry. So first, we have a picture. Maatjies, kyk die prentjie. Kan julle sien daar's 'n voeltjie? Can you see there's a little bird? That bird is doing shopping. That bird is buying groceries. Kyk daar. Die voeltjie koop inkopies. Kan julle dit sien? Can you see that? The birds are buying groceries to eat. Do you think that birds do that? Doen voeltjies dit? No, do birds do that? Is it snaaks? Het jy al 'n voeltjie gesien in die Woolies? No, maybe flying in and taking food, but not groceries. And then we have a flower on that side. Mikey's friends, can you see the flower? That flower has a laptop bag and a coffee. Hulle het 'n koffie en 'n laptop. En hulle gaan werk toe. That flower has to work very hard because it needs pretty clothes. Hey? Do you think flowers do that? Het blomme laptops, Mika? Flowers don't have laptops. Flowers don't drink coffee. Flowers don't have to work. And that's exactly what Jesus said. It's just so easy. The birds don't have to go do grocery shopping. They get fed by who? Not by me. By God. He feeds them. And who makes the flowers pretty? Wie maak die blomme mooi? Jesus makes the flowers pretty. They're already pretty because Jesus takes care of them. And the coolest part of it all is that Jesus said that we are more valuable. Ons is vir God nog meer dierbaar. We are more valuable to God than the lilies and the birds. Isn't that just so cool? All right. So, let me just find my place. So I was also thinking, if you look at the bird and the flower, does that mean we can now sit and do nothing? Beteken dit ons kan sit en niks doen? Ons hoef niks te doen nie. We can sit, we can chill, we can just do nothing because God will must give it to us. God will drop it on our laps. Poing. Hey kids, show us. God gaan dit net so op my skoot laat val. Poing. Ha, gaan hy? Tannie Marinie sê nee. Oh, boo. Hi. No, it doesn't just drop on our laps. It doesn't just happen. We also have to be faithful. We have to do our part, and God will provide. God will provide a job so that daddy can buy the groceries, or daddy can pay that mommy buys the groceries, however it works. God does provide, not just through jobs. He provides through friends and community and people helping each other. God provides. So we can really know that God is the one that does the groceries, or not does the groceries, but make sure that we can do the groceries. And we are just so much more valuable to him. Ons is vir God baie dierbaar. And he wants to give us all the things that we need. Okay, so now we can go on to the next scripture. So let me just see if it's the right one. You can go to the next slide for me, thanks. Yeah, it was what we were saying. Jesus said these things. He said, you are more valuable than they, the birds. You are more valuable than the flowers. Jesus is nog meer lief vir jou as wat hy is vir die voëls en die blomme. It's true. He really is. And he also says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Oh, we cannot have little faith. Ons kan nie klein geloof hê nie. Ons moet groot geloof hê. We must have big belief, faith. We must have a lot of it. Why? What if God gives me clothes today? Wat as God vandag vir ons kos gee, maar môre doen hy nie? Wat as God vir ons ons papas nie meer werk het nie. Wat gaan God doen? Will he take care of us? Yes, some of the kids are saying yes, he will. And why is that? Why is that? Charlie het sy hand op. Because Jesus is the best. Amen. He really is. He really is. He died on the cross for you. Hy het op die kruis gesterf vir jou en vir jou almal van ons. Hy het gesterf op die kruis vir ons. En why did he do that? We can now go to the next scripture for real. We can go to the next scripture. Okay, so we're going to read in Romans 8. This is why. She said Jesus was on the cross because people were looking for him, and we will keep looking for him, eh? All right, Romans 8, we're going to read from verse 31 until 39. If God is for us, who can be against us? Before we go on, I really felt this conqueror feeling instead of warrior today. And as I opened my car door when I stopped here, I hear Maronique singing, and she was practicing, and she sang, what was the one that we sang? No, the third song. What was the third song? Our God is for us, hey? Was it that? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? It was that. The moment I opened my door, I heard that, and I just knew Jesus wants everyone to know that today. Jesus wil weet, hy is vir ons, nie teen ons nie. En daarom gaan hy vir ons oppas. All right, let's read. 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God gives us all things. God geef ons alles. Alles wat ons het, is van God af. Jesus, everything we have is from him. En God, can we read some more? Okay, where was I? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. En op die derde dag het hy opgestaan, nee, Ari? Okay, sorry, I lost my place. Let's go to verse 34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? So, can these things take God's love away from us if we don't have a job? As ons nie geldjies het aan die einde van die maand nie. Vat Jesus se liefde weg. Nee, it doesn't take away God's love. He always loves us. Let's go on 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, Jesus is our biggest gift. Thank you, Aria. She feels very comfortable because I'm up here. So this scripture, it just spoke to me. We can believe that God will take care of us because nothing can separate his love from us. And that is something that we need to know and teach our children. We need to know that as ourselves and teach our families. Husbands, teach your wives. Wives, teach your husbands and teach your kids that nothing can separate us from God. Okay, so, very important. Baie belangrik. We are going to have to discuss this now in our groups. And we're going to discuss it very nicely. I think that is the next thing that we're going to do. So Philip said we're doing a bit of a workshop. So we have our scriptures, we have our storyline, we have our pictures. Don't forget about the pictures. We can use that in our families. So now the next step is we are going to turn together and we're going to read Bible together. I have put some instructions on. So if your children didn't bring children's Bibles, I think I've got 5 extras. If anyone wants to come and get a children's Bible, come get one. And so we can turn together, help your child to get the right story, and then dads can read for us from their Bibles in Matthew 6, and moms can read from Romans 8. If you are mixed families, make turns. If you are singles together, make turns for everyone to read these scriptures together. And once everyone has had an opportunity to read, we're going to do questions. So I'll give a few minutes for reading, and then we'll put up some questions. And then you can choose which questions you want to discuss with your kids. But really, like, make it plain, make it simple, and go to the easy like question to bring out more deep conversation, if I can put it like that. Okay, so we're first going to read Bible together, then we're going to do questions together, and then we're going to do communion together. And I want the fathers to lead the communion. If you are uncertain, you've never done it, you don't know what to pray, we've got a slide. We're going to put a slide up when it's time with a simple prayer to help you facilitate that prayer. Okay, so this is really the time that you get to sit together with your family and work through these things. We're going to do them slowly. I'll let you know when it's time for the next one. I see some of the children are hot and tired. So fathers, let's facilitate that. Hold them, put them on your lap. Mothers, put them on your lap. Let's get together. Let's make our families and let's start reading. The Sermon on the Mount. In the children's Bibles, it's most likely the Sermon on the Mount. The opskrift, the heading is the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to find it in your children's Bibles. And then the scriptures can stay up for now for the Bible reading. So let's turn together and let's read together. If you have finished your reading, let's do the discussion questions. There's lots. You don't have to do all of them. You can choose some. What's going to be applicable for your family, you can do those ones. And after that, we'll do the communion. We'll hand out communion. So take your time. There's no rush. Take your time to get through the discussion questions. Okay, there's no rush to finish the discussion if you'd like, but we're going to put the slide up for communion. So if you want to use it as a guide, you're welcome to use that as a prayer guide for communion. So yeah, let's facilitate communion together and pray together. Don't forget to pray together before you leave. After that, you are welcome to go, but don't forget to pray together as a family.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.